All right, good, good, good. There we go. All right, welcome everyone. Sorry about that. Hi everyone, I'm Fausto Puglisi from Cybertrain University and welcome to our podcast webinar. And I'm really excited. We got a great, great speaker. One of my favorite people I love having on. Haven't had him in a long time. Probably he should have his own talk show. I mean, honestly, every time I listen to him, I not only learn something from him, but he's just really knows the market so well. Very talented. Been a guru forever for the industry. Have done so many events. Rob Booker. Rob, thanks for coming. It's so great to see you.
Fausto, it's so nice to be here. And hi, everybody.
You got all dressed up. I didn't have to get all dressed up for this, but look great. Everything looks awesome.
This is a big deal for me. I don't do these things anymore. This is a big deal for me. I'm like, I got a message the other day, Fausto, from one of our friends in this business. He said, are you dead? Like, where are you? So I was like, I'm friends with Fausto. I don't need other friends. Like, don't worry about it.
I know. Listen, you keep your friends close, enemies closer, but you know, but anyway, you only need so, you know, like I said, it's in this industry, you know, there's a lot of scrutiny on it. There's everybody thinks they're a guru now. Everybody thinks they know how to trade. And I always tell Rob, like, you know, I tell my students, you don't really know how to trade until you've been through a bad market and not even one, two. So you're always going to go up. And way you always learn it is on the way down. And how bad can you come back from that? A lot of people don't know how to come back from it. It's all about the losers. But anyway, Rob, where are you logged in from? Where are you living now?
So I'm in Austin, Texas right now. I have an apartment here. And then I have a home or part of a home in Houston, Texas that I spent the last week. I have a picture somewhere of me chopping down this 80-foot tree fell down. Another 100-foot tree fell down. A ton of like 30-foot trees fell down on that property. So I was out there just for the whole week. Just I have blisters all over my hands from cutting stuff down and helping my neighbors and whatever else. So I'm getting rid of that house. To sum it up, Fausto, I'm getting out of there. Like, no way.
You know what? It's good therapy. Like, you know, listen, I have a second channel. It's called Fausto Home Living. And I do cooking. I have, like, you know, listen, as a trader, you got to need something to get away, right? So, like, I have chickens. I have backyard chickens I'll play around with. I just worked on my garden here and there. Sometimes you need to walk away from what's going on and then get back into it because you can't sit here all day. I mean, it just ends up becoming – you end up, like, over-trading, and that's basically what ends up happening. But, Rob, tell me a little bit about you. So listen – everybody wants always ask us these questions. Like, what brings you into the education business? Why are you out there, you know, telling people your secrets of trading? Like, how did you start, you know, your educational school?
That's a great question. By the way, it's great to see you. It's great to be here. I love talking to you. You know, there's been a big transition over my career. I started trading 24 years ago. I was a currency trader. I managed some money as a commodities trading advisor. I wrote a book, I traveled around. I did the first podcast for traders that turned into a radio show. And then, you know, I did that. And then in 2019, I kind of got out of the business. I sold my YouTube channel, which was shockingly possible to do, and my podcast. And I kind of took some time off and just did my trading. And I came back about 6 months ago. We talked a little bit about this. And I kind of decided that this time around, I'm going to give almost everything away for free. Like, I'll give a link at the end of this. Almost everything that I do is free now. And then I work with a small group of people, and that's super expensive. And then, so my circle of people that I trade with is really small now. And it's not to cut people out or whatever. It's to say, listen, if you're just starting out or you're growing your account, everything's free. Like, that's just kind of the, and I think you're really similar in the same way. You give so much content away for free. There's no hidden agenda with you. You'd like to have the largest number of people possible doing well, whether or not they give you any money. And I think in this industry, that's really rare. And I think one thing I wanted to change about the way that I did things is do more of it the way that you do. Like, do a lot of stuff to help the largest number of people possible. And that's really been an inspiration to me. So nowadays, I do some content. I'm just starting up. I have a new podcast sponsor. A broker is going to sponsor the new podcast. I'm just kind of starting that up. And I'm writing a book, which I'm just going to give away for free on the website. You know, I'm just kind of working on those kinds of projects. And then I do a type of trading, which most people think is insane, probably. And it's for most people, but it works really nicely for me. And I'm just having the time of my life.
Yeah, you know, I felt the same way. I mean, been doing this for like almost 35 years now. And like, I was not a fan of giving stuff away for free, you know, because I always felt like, you know, it's, you work so hard to learn that knowledge that, you know, you should be paying for it. But like, I got to a point, like, there's like two different levels of types of people. There are people that you have to do it for free. And there's people like, no, listen, I seriously want, you know, to learn how to do this the right way. And then there's that other group of people, like you just mentioned. You have a small group of people that you work with, and you know, you want to help everyone, but you can't. But there's a lot of work that comes along with it, and that's where it comes about. But you know, I always felt, and this is how I also fell into it, Rob, like, I don't know if you felt the same way, there's just so much bad people in this industry. There's so many bad actors that are trying to, like, you know, they're like car salesmen, you know what I mean? They're trying to sell you some car, and it just makes us look bad, you know, as mentors going out there. And they're like, oh, you like everyone else. I mean, how many times have we've been in front of an audience at the money show, and you always get that heckler in there that wants to say something like, oh, you just, you know, you just here selling all the course or whatever. And it's like, you know what, I'm done with that. I'd rather just tell you guys to begin, right?
Yeah, I love the answer. Now, I don't speak anywhere anymore, but I'd love to speak somewhere now and have somebody raise their hand and say, well, if you're doing so well at trading, then why are you selling stuff? And I would go, well, actually, I'm not. So here's something for free. Show me that you're going to use it. I bet you don't. I bet you still go out in the hall and you buy a $1,200 indicator. You know what I mean? Like, so now my answer is, I'm going to unload your gun, I'm going to unload that gun. And now what are you going to do? You're gonna pay attention? Like, that's my challenge. Is, yeah, okay, sure. I did make a bunch of money. I made a ton of money. I did really well. So actually, just like you, I do give a lot of stuff away for free. And whether you use it or not, it's totally up to you. And then I choose a small group of people that I like to spend time with every morning, and that's my core group of people. Actually, I got into a really bad trade this morning, Fausto.
Oh, you
like,
did.
I really.
Don't tell me the video.
Yeah, like, and I reached out to my friend Chad, and we trade together today, and I was just like, Chad, head hung low, I messed this up. And he's like, okay, let's get to work. Like, that's what it's like when there's like a smaller group of people, and I got out of it. And now I'm on timeout for a day. I can't trade for a day because I was a greedy little psycho deranged gambler on one trade today, which I don't ever do anymore. But it's nice to have like a small group of people and say, I'm in trouble, I made a mistake. What can I ask for your help? And that, I love that part of it. And I, you know, marked, checked in safe from Hurricane July 17th trading in Rob Booker's account. So, you know.
Yeah, you know, I'm great that you brought that up, because they don't realize that we do lose when it comes to trading. Yeah. We do make mistakes. We do lose money in trading, and it's okay. Yeah. It's okay, we lose. And the thing that I always like to just tell everyone is that, like, I took a loss on a position. I owned Boyle. I did a swing trade on it. And thank God I got out of that trade. I bought it at 13. I got out at 13.50, and it went down to 10. So I'm like, thank God, you know, like, because you're going to lose. It's just, you're going to need to know how to control the losses. And like you mentioned before, like, we run a trading room. And, you know, we have a very click, certain people that are in there, and some people click and some aren't. And if we don't think you're going to click, we're not going to watch in the room. And that's okay. Listen, it's, you know, you have to, you can't be married to everyone. You have a clique of friends. Like, it's like going to school. You graduate with a huge class, but not everyone in that your class is your friends. I mean, you're kind of friends with them. You talk to them, but you find your clique of friends, and those are really who you're going to grow up with. Trading's the same way. And that's why we like to give things for free and so on.
Yeah, that's really true. Like, 100% for me too. I am. So like, yeah, I'll totally talk about my bad trade today, Samuel. Like, I'm happy to do it. I like talking about the bad stuff, because like Fausto, like, our industry is just, our industry is just filled with people who are like, another win, another 100% winner day. Like, another, you know, like, wow. And you're like, have you ever like verified your trades, or like, where's your, anyway, I like talking about the bad ones, because nobody who's listening to this right now needs help with the stuff they're already really good at. Like, nobody needs help with that. And everybody secretly kind of has one day a month where they're just a degenerate gambler and they break every rule that they had. And now what are we going to do? It's like Trader 911. You don't need it until you really need it. And I like that. I like that part of it. So yeah, I like talking about the pet. I actually, I sell puts for income. So I take money out of my super risky account and I put them into a larger account. I just sell puts for income. And then sometimes I get assigned the stock if it drops. And it's always a stock that I'd like to own anyway. And I sold puts on Restoration Hardware right before earnings. I sold the $287.50 puts. I got paid $17 per contract.
Oh my God.
$10,000 in premium. And it dropped to $230 a share right after earnings. And deep breath, I didn't trade a position size that was too big for my account. I was using $70,000 of my trading capital. So, you know, about 7% of my trading account. And I just sat with it. And then, you know, and I didn't add to it immediately. And mm-hmm. I just, you know, and 2 days ago, I closed it out with a small gain. And then it just rocket shipped upwards. And I realized it's like, it wasn't really that bad of a trade, even though it went bad. That doesn't mean it was a bad trade. Like, we all like confuse the results of the trade with the original decision. So mm-hmm. we call a bad trade one that's losing, and we call a good trade one that's finally winning. But it really doesn't have anything to do with it. It's like, I followed my rules. I followed my risk management. I traded a stock that I liked. I probably paid for part of Restoration Hardware's earnings on this chandelier that I just put up. Like, I'm a participant in this company. Like, I love this company. It wasn't a bad decision, but I hated it while I was in it. And I had to stop and say, wait a minute. What was my thought process? Why did I do this in the first place? How far did I think it was going to go down if it went against me? What was the worst case? I was like, 200 was the worst case scenario. It's not there yet. But I was down like, I don't know, $25,000. And I was like, yeah. I hate being down $25,000. I hate
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
So we've all been there, right?
Bill Ireland in the chat says, no kidding. Oh, he's been there. I mean, we've all been there. And the goal is like, you know, we've all been sick. And how do you get better? You know, we all know you go to the doctor, you take some medicine, you know, if you just sat there and didn't do anything, you know, we all know what the outcome is. You know, I think we've all been there and done that. We've not done that, but we all probably have friends of ours. You know, unfortunately, I had a very close friend of mine. One of my best friends just passed away less than 5 months ago. And I've been fighting with him forever. Just never took care of himself. You know what I mean? He was very overweight. We were very, very close. Finally, he decided to take care of himself. And by that time, it was just too late. You know, he had a blood clot that killed him. You know what I mean? And it just ended up happening. Yeah, it's a sad story. But that kind of a story kind of affects people in the stock market. And I think that's why you and I just love teaching people, because how many times we meet, it's such a big failure rate. And you just mentioned earlier, like, and I think everyone here has to, and me and Rob have been around the block for years, and we see the biggest, you know, I hate to use the word scammers, whatever, but like, I'll give everyone a little advice. If you ever see anybody show you packs of cash on the top of their, show of their Lamborghinis or this and that, those are the people you don't want to trade with. Those are the ones that, like he just mentioned, like Rob, you just said, I spend probably 80% of my training is all teaching about the losers. It's not about winners. You know what I mean? That's what we're able to hear. You know, it's where it comes down to it. But
are you doing mostly swing trading? Do you do some day trading still?
80% of my trades are day trading, and about 20% are more my swing trades. Okay. You know, and then I'm doing a very little what you're doing. I'll probably sell cover calls. Like sometimes I own these swing trades, and then I'll probably sell an option on it and make a nice little premium on it. But yeah, that's pretty much it. But I'm looking forward. I think a lot of people are going to look forward on the second half. We're going to kind of show Rob a little bit of his, show his screen, a little bit of his style here. I think that would be awesome. But where do you see the market going now? I mean, like, did you see what happened yesterday? That was up like almost like 800 points. I mean, what the hell's going on?
I didn't look at it yesterday, but I looked at it today and I'm like, gold is up. The market's up. Like, up is down, down is up, numbers are down, things are up, assassination attempts are up. So much weirdness is happening. Like all at once, so much weirdness is happening. We don't know who's actually going to end up running for president. We don't know are they going to lower rates or are they going to raise rates? Is oil going to stay where it, I mean, like so much of it is like uncharted territory that I don't think I've ever seen in 24 years. We know that eventually all bull markets end. and they all end badly.
Mm-hmm.
They don't typically end until after there's been an interest rate switch. And so raising rates doesn't always, it actually typically leads to a bull market because everybody's like, oh, they're raising rates because the economy is strong. It's when they come back around and lower them that sometimes there's a big surprise. And it's the stuff that nobody expects. The things that no one expects are the things that always happen. So I'm pretty bullish until, you know, Jerry Powell comes down and is, you know, announcing that they're going to lower rates. That's when I'm like, oh, he's also saying things are slowing down and we're a little bit concerned. That's when I'm going to hammer on some UVXY calls. I'm going to buy some, you know, super out of the money puts on Nvidia. Like at that point,
yeah.
I'm not touching it right now, dude. There's a famous guy. There's a famous options trader who's not my friend. He doesn't like me. He doesn't like me. But
why
doesn't
he like you? You're the most nicest guy out there. That's crazy. That's not the like.
I think I'm just a windbag blowhard. I think whatever. But anyway, through a friend of a friend, this guy is super famous, hundreds of millions of dollars. We all know his name. We're not going to say his name. But he shorted Nvidia at $200, then again at $300, then at $500, then at $600, then at $700. And this guy, I'll tell you who it is offline. This guy told one of my best friends, he's like, I'm out. I'm done. I'm done trading. Like, this is like a super famous, everybody in the whole world of options trading has heard of this guy. And he even got caught in that. We all do. Like, none of us are immune to any of this. And it made me think, well, when he gives up, when that guy gives up on his short position, that's when because I'm a short seller, that's when I start going, I think I'm going to take a look at this. Like, nobody would short Nvidia right now. But I promise you, Fausto, like, I'm going to try to get on CNBC when I short it. Like, I'm going to try to let the whole entire world know when I do it, because I'm just waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And it will eventually, you know.
Where's my phone? I was going to show you really quick. I know a lot of people here are logged in from all my social media. And I had one video, believe it or not, one video went viral. It was about, I did it last week. And it started off with like 5,000, 10,000. Then on Saturday, it was 100,000. It's almost at 600,000 views. And it's about NVIDIA. Okay.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah. It's going to probably hit 1 million probably in the next day or two because NVIDIA is getting crushed. And part of
I haven't even looked. Yeah. I don't even see.
NVIDIA is not getting crushed. I mean, it broke. It's down to almost went down to 118.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah. I like this. This is good.
So, you know, like, you know, part of my style is I teach order flow. And I was just trying to explain to everyone, look at these big orders. You have 1.8 million shares at like 140, and as a big buyer, 135. If he gets filled, it's going to go down to 120. Everybody's like, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Like, I'm holding until it goes to 200. And I'm like, God bless you. I hope it does. But
yeah,
as a trader, you got to follow the order flow. I mean, and how about if I told you it's going to go to 200? You said 200 next year, but you could buy it right now at 100. You know, I'll buy a ton of it. So why would you hold it at 140?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and sure enough, that video just went like completely viral. And it broke these major, major support levels, like you just said. And that's the difference of like why, like, I've been going out, like you saying, is like telling these people for free. Is like, you know, you think you know how to trade the market. And, you know, like I did a video also on GameStop, you know, and Roy and Katie came on there. And, you know, here's a guy that's sitting there talking about it on Yahoo. And I'm like, this guy has absolutely no idea what he's talking about, other than he had 600,000 people on a YouTube channel. And you know what? We all know if you all hit, everyone hits the button at the same time, you know, Wall Street always going to win. And like you just said, they'll just keep shorting. But like, you know, of course you could manipulate a stock when you have that many people in a stock. But that's why you got to follow the order flow when it comes to NVIDIA. But yeah, that's going to be an interesting
popular madness and the delusions of crowds, or whatever that book is, was written 200 years ago and covers some of the greatest manias in history, the tulip mania, probably this South Seas company or whatever. This is not new. Like, I love NVIDIA. I love AI. I love chips. I love chips and dip. I love all of it. I love it. I want NVIDIA to go. I want NVIDIA to be the first $4 trillion company. I'm not a pessimistic. Like, I'm not trying to make NVIDIA go down. I don't care. I don't care right now. I'm just saying that, just like you, when it does, I'm going to be impartial about it. I'm going to be unemotional about it. I'm not attaching like some kind of, I'll be happy if NVIDIA goes up, or I'll be sad if NVIDIA goes down. I'm just going to take it as it is. And when an order, I look at level two on short selling when I'm trading in the mornings. That is, there are no emotions. Each level two order doesn't come through with a smiley face emoji or a sad face emoji. It's just an order. It doesn't mean anything. You can't, we're all the same, right? We're in a position. If it goes our way, we're happy. If it goes against us, we're sad. But Warren Buffett, if Coca-Cola goes down $10, Warren Buffett's going to throw a party. He's going to eat 12 McDonald's cheeseburgers and go sit at the grave of Charlie Munger and talk to him about how awesome it is that Coca-Cola fell. Why is he happy? Because he can buy more. Why is he happy every time Oxy goes to $59 a share? That's how he got 30% of the company. So, right, we have to like sort of change the way we think about stocks going up and down if we truly want to do well at it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem about with Warren Buffett. He's in a totally different league. And some of these people think like, well, Warren Buffett said, he could buy the thing till it goes to zero. He does not care. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like did you ever see the movie, the movie GameStop?
Oh yeah. That's the dumb money or whatever.
Yeah. Dumb money. Yeah. So I end up watching it for the first, my kids were begging me, dad, you got to watch this video. You got to watch this movie. And I finally watched it after the whole thing started picking up. And then all of a sudden, like you could see it, like Wall Street never loses. Like the guy who's down a billion goes, and the white goes, how much are you down today? I'm down another billion. They don't care. They got trillions. They'll short the crap out of it, you know? But like you said, the big option guy that you know, and I think I know you're talking about, eventually, like they only have X amount of money, but Wall Street, you can't beat Goldman Sachs, BlackRock. Well, these guys got trillions of dollars. If they get caught there, they're not like you. I mean, they could just say, oh, just keep short more. Eventually, these people are going to give up.
We know the famous quote, John Maynard Keynes, the market can stay irrational longer than you can stay solvent. My quote is, so as a short seller, I say, oh no, I can stay solvent longer than the market can stay irrational because I'm not trading a big size. My trade size is so small, it looks like I'm an idiot. I appear to be an amateur on my first trades. Like I go in, I'm testing the water, slap on the rubber gloves, probe a little bit, see what's going on. And I can hang out with that. We're going to look at an example today where trade size is everything. Almost every trading mistake I've ever made, and my opinion is that almost anybody's ever made, is a trade size mistake.
Big time.
Everyone here, you're pretty good at picking direction. We've all done it. We stop out and then it goes exactly where we thought it was going to go. And I got tired of that. And I realized, oh, I just have to remain solvent longer than the market kind of does this weird correction or whatever it does. And there's people panicking right now exiting NVIDIA, which probably will bounce at some point. Like you just have to like switch everything. Instead of panicking when NVIDIA goes down, you have to sort of get excited. And instead of buying NVIDIA when it's at an all-time high, you have to wait. Like there's all these things that as soon as you switch it, and if you get your first position on NVIDIA and you're just doing something really small, really easy, really safe, you're like, well, there's no emotion in that. There's no excitement in that. I'm not going to make any money doing that. It's like, well, how much are you making right now? And that's it. Like you just have to stay solvent. And then you can, like today when I took my final position, I just beat up on it. Like I was like, okay. I made a couple mistakes. It's ready, but I have all this gunpowder. I have 97% of my margin available. I could just hammer on this garbage piece of garbage company that's never going to stay hot. I could do that now. And I have a stop, still going to stop out at a certain point. So
you got to have a stop. And getting back to that example in the video about the money wise, you're absolutely right. Like I tell everyone, I was never a big trader. And the reason for it is I found my sweet spot. I tried to become bigger and try to compete against everyone, but I emotional wise, I couldn't handle it. You know, it's like playing at the blackjack table. And like, I think everyone here could say, play dollar hands. They're like, how are you going to make money? I'm like, it's not the point. You're here to learn, right? And then you'll go and like, oh, now I figured it out. Well, this is easy. You don't even care. It's only a dollar, big deal. And you play $5 hands and he played $25 hands. And meanwhile, there's a guy next to me paying $5,000 hands. And then, like, I try to do that, and all that work that you did, you lose it in one trade. And, like, I'll never do that again. And I shouldn't have been there anyway in the first place because it's over what I can afford and whatever it is. I hate to compare it to a casino and a gambling. But, listen, I hate everyone say to compare trading as gambling. But it really is when it comes down to it. That's what all these ETFs and options are. I mean, like, you just got to know how to play the game. That's all. Yeah. It's a big game. You just got to know how to play it. And a lot of people just don't know. Like I on my feed where I was looking at everyone with this video went viral. You guys see some of the questions people ask me. I don't care. I got 10,000. I got 1,000 shares because I got all the splits and crap. But like you just mentioned, they only could handle so long where, you know, that it becomes emotional. And you once you trade emotional, it means you're trading too many shares. And that's really what comes down to it.
Yeah, Wall Street's going to get its money. And so Wall Street knows where your breaking point is. Your broker knows what point to liquidate your account. Like you can't win that. And so what you do is you purposefully put yourself on the side of you can't break me. I'm in an unbeatable position. If I bought Nvidia at 100, I don't care right now. I don't care. And if I didn't get Nvidia at 100, I'm not buying it right now. Period. I will not overpay for something because Seth, the guy that wrote Margin of Safety, Seth Klarman, you can't even get the book. It's $3,000 online. I got a copy. I read the book. The whole book is about don't get into a stock too early. The whole book, it's $3,000 of don't buy a shitty company first. And then if you buy a good company, don't overpay for it. Your margin of safety is getting in and it's like, well, God, this is, so now I'm just going to wait around. Yeah, blackjack, fold, or whatever it is. Fold, 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 fold. And you get a good hand. And then in blackjack, nobody's reading you. Yeah, then you go big. Like when you have an edge, also Ed Thorpe was a world famous blackjack player who crushed it in the markets. It's all about having an edge. And so it's a waiting game. Like I didn't wait long enough this morning and I'll show you on the chart, but it's all a waiting game. Like I have, over the years, I've just realized, gosh, everything is just a waiting game. Wait. If your emotions rise up and you know it's ready, don't. Wait. Wait longer. If you super know it's ready, wait. Don't go in. If you're 100% sure that you're going to tell all your friends and you're going to load up and wait, and it's always going to go higher or it's lower or whatever it is that you need it to go, you're always going to get a better price. There's a better price available. And I love what you did with NVIDIA. It's like, don't be surprised at this. This is how the game is played. They're going to stop everybody out. It's going to go into the breaking point. And then somebody that wants smart people who want to buy NVIDIA at 115 or 110, they're going to wait for that. Right. And everybody else won't have any money left. They'll all be cleared out. It's terrible. But anytime you choose, anytime you want, you can come over to that side. Anytime you want, you can go in smaller. You can build a position. You can wait longer anytime you want. It's totally up to you. Or you can be like I was this morning, a degenerate gambler, and freak yourself out and, you know.
Yeah, just had that work out for the degenerate gambler.
Yeah, it was stressful. I don't have very many stressful days anymore. But today was like the most stressed I've been. And I drink 2 cups of coffee on top of it. So I'm just really screwing myself from the beginning.
Tell your hair's all blown up. You're doing... Your beard sticking out. God. It happens. Listen, we've all been there. We've done that. You know, I had a couple of war stories. We all have it. Which, you know what? That's funny. I want to ask you this. And then I want to shift it over so you can kind of show a little bit your style.
Sure.
Tell me one of your worst war stories. Like, what was the worst thing that ever happened to you as a trader? How you were able to dig yourself out? I mean, doing it 20 years, we've all had something that really had a breaking point in our lives. In a market.
Gosh, I have a bunch of these. I didn't always get out of them. During COVID, I shorted Wayfair early on. So I had the biggest trade I've ever taken. Okay, we'll do both. We'll do both sides. In January of 2020, whatever it was, I bought calls on UVXY. And I lost and I lost and I lost. And it really drew down. Like I was like, no, this is the pattern I look for. This is the, and there was no code. There was like, we weren't really even talking about that yet. And then it was at the point where I said, I don't know how to do this. Like I was really, really, really down. It's like, I went too big. I lost more money than I should have. And I was talking to my friend Jeffrey, and the final setup, like, it's like taking a mulligan. My dad was going to write a book called about golf, like, take your second shot first. We're all really good at the second shot, like, only after you've lost. And it was that second shot. It was like, oh, shit, that was the one. That was the one. And Jeffrey and I talked it over, and I said, if I were looking at this from a blank slate, this was the setup. And I was I knew I was getting in early, and I was getting too, I was anticipating the trade rather than letting it prove itself first. We can't be first in there. We got to let Wall Street or whoever be first.
Right.
And we went in, and that was the single biggest trade I've ever taken, the single biggest win I ever had in my life. Jeffrey did $880,000 on that trade, for example. I mean, we both went in with the right size, and we added to the position as it went well. And once again, like, the losses, like, five losses in a row had depleted my confidence, but that doesn't change the system. Like,
right.
Once again, like, my recent
experience,
doesn't dictate anything. So I shorted Wayfair a month or two later as it was on the run up. And we all know Wayfair did really well during COVID because everyone was buying furniture. So, and I shorted it. I shorted it super early, like $100 before the top. And I lost like $21,000 on that trade. And then I remembered my UVXY experience, and I just said, I'm going to sit back. I waited like 3 months for that. Maybe four. I didn't take another trade on that for 4 months. And it was like, I felt like I was stalking this thing. And it was such a position of like empowerment. Like, I don't have to take this now. I am going to sit here, and I'm going to wait for this, and I'm going to wait, and I'm going to wait. And there were like a couple of days where I probably took the trade and closed it out on the same day a couple of times.
Wow.
Where I just like, nope, it wasn't ready. I'm going to correct my mistake. And then I just beat the heck out of that one, because it was close to bankruptcy 1 month before COVID. It was like, anyway, the point is, take your second shot first was my lesson. And this morning was kind of like that too. I had plenty of margin left after I'd made a mistake. And I kind of learned my lesson, like, wait. Everything's just wait for the moment. And then you get it.
And that's not too long ago, 4 years. I mean, I have horror stories I learned from the early days back when I was just starting out, you know, holding overnight positions, over trading. I remember one day, I once in a while I talk about it, but like, I remember when I first started, you know, as a market maker, you had to work underneath somebody. So you had to trade for a firm, and we had to split the profits. But you take all the losses. That's the game. You take the losses. We keep any of the half the winners. It's like, what kind of deal is that? It's the only way to get into it. But I'll never forget. I started out and I did a trade, and it was it was Yahoo was public. No, was it Yahoo? It was Yahoo. I forgot. It was one of the companies public. So anyway, so I was doing really well. I followed the rules. I was taught how to trade. I bought a stock. I made, and back then we were fractions, if you remember. So yeah. I made 0.75 point on 1,000 shares. I was up like $750. Back then I was just trying to make about $500 a day, you know, starting out. It was like my first 3 months, you know, starting off, you know. And I was up I was up 1,500. My goal is to make about 500 a day, but I made 1,500. I hit a stock really early. So I was ready to go on a boat. I live on Long Island. I was going to go fishing. My friends were like, let's go out. Let's go have some fun. Okay, great. Because that's what you're supposed to do. Get away from the computer. As I was walking out, I think it might have been Yahoo, as it was public at the time. The stock was at like $66, and it ended up opening up at 44. I got halted on bad news. So all I was thinking about was a dead cat bounce. So let me try to get the bounce on it, because that's, I love bottom fishing on stocks. I get in the computer, boom, I buy it. I was walking out the damn door. Okay. Bought the stock, boom, I lost 750 like that. Now I'm down. Now I went from 1500 down 750. I'm up 750. I'm like, shit, I want my 750 back. You know what I mean? Yeah. So then all of a sudden I'm sitting there, my friends are calling me on the boat, you know, like, Fausto, where are you? I'm like, I can't, I got stuck in a position. I'm sorry, guys. That day I did I did 144 trades. Okay. And back then, were you paying free tickets? I was paying $20 a ticket. That day, I'll never forget, I lost $5,650 on top of the $20 a ticket. I spent about another $5,000-$6,000 on tickets alone. I was down about $12,000 that day. For someone that was only making about $500 a day on the average, I was down about $12,000. I thought I was out of business. Well, sure enough, I put my head down. I got my and like my company could have told me to leave. They told me they let me blow myself up to teach me a lesson. And then at the end, because I wasn't listening to them. I was like, la 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 la. I don't want to hear anything. You know what I mean? So I got in there. They told me to take 2 days off. I got suspended. I came back. I put my head down. Went through the training process again, and ended up being up at the end of the month about $2,000. So I was down huge. I ended up making it back. That was like my first 3 months in the business. I thought I was going to be out of a job, but like you said, that is something that you learn not to make that mistake, because that was like a situation you mentioned earlier. I got too deep. I got too involved. I mean, I could do it now, you know, but you got to do it within your balance. But you got to worry about that.
Suspension is a real thing. Like suspension's a real thing. Like I'm not trading tomorrow. Like it's a real thing. Like people, because there's no barrier to entry and you don't have to listen to anybody, I could trade tomorrow again and I'd probably be fine. But I made a mistake today. And if somebody worked for me and traded like I did today, they'd be on timeout. And I kind of grew up a little bit and realized, gosh, there are consequences and I can set them. And I can live up to them. Like I can set a standard. And if I don't live up to it, I can say, well, tomorrow I don't get to trade. And that's a real thing. It'll change you in a hurry if you put yourself on timeout. Like it'll change you in a hurry. Like, oh, this is a privilege. This is not a right. This is your kid's college. This is your mortgage payment. This is the 9/11 you've always wanted to get. Like this isn't just play money. This is real money. Like so I had to kind of grow up on that. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't let it get the best of you. And the thing is that the bad thing about it that I'm trying to tell everyone here that are listening and we're watching, very important advice I want to give, and Rob will tell you the same thing, is you have to take off tomorrow the next day, because what's going to end up happening, you're going to want to make back the money you lost yesterday. So let's say you're down let's say your goal is to make 200 a day, right? And you lost 1,000 and you make 200 tomorrow. I'm like, that's not enough. Like I got to make back the 1,000 I lost yesterday. So meanwhile, you would have took that 200 and then all of a sudden that 200 now becomes another $1,000 loss. Now you're down 2,000. That's how you start digging yourself in a hole. So sometimes that's why you need to get away and, you know, escape. Whatever you do is escape wise. Like I said, I'll maybe go out there and maybe do what you do, cut a tree down. Take the week off and do something like that. But with Rob, you know what? Let's go into your style. Why don't you kind of show me and share your screen a little bit and show your style, exactly what you're doing, you know? And that would be great. I think a lot of people want to see that.
You got it. I'm going to share my entire screen here. And let me know if that's going to work.
There we go.
Okay. So this is my the web-based version of the account that this is my smaller account that I use for higher risk day trades. It's all short selling. We'll talk about why I am drawn to do the things that everybody tells you are too dangerous. I'm drawn to do the things. I think there's huge amounts of opportunity in things that people tell you don't work. And sometimes I think that's a way of people telling you, I don't want you to do this because it's working so well for me. So I'm not here to have a, you know, like I know I'm not going to have an argument with you, Fausto, but I'm not here to have an argument about whether it works or not. I'm just going to say, I know it's not for everybody, but I'm going to tell you why it's right for me in a few moments. But I do want to show you, like, I try to be pretty transparent about like the way things go. This is my day. This is a bigger day than usual. Maybe at the most, I'm usually doing $1,000 a day in this account. This was an $1,800 day. Although this might appear to be or look like or whatever a good day, this was a terrible day. And it's not because I'm not complaining about the money. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying this was a terrible day. I got this money, but I'm lucky that I did. And I'm lucky that it wasn't a $1,386 loss. So I'm not proud of this. I'm showing it to you to be transparent. I would show it to you if it was a loss or a win. But I thought I would just kind of walk you through why I do the things that I do. And then I'm happy to take any questions that come up, but I'll spend like 5 minutes or 10 minutes kind of showing you why I do what I do and then what I do with the money after. And then we can look through this example, this trade where I'm really sort of not pleased about the way that it went. So this is tradingview.com. It's got a 1 minute and a 5 minute chart on here. I typically will just use one or the other, but not both. So I'm just gonna pull up a 5 minute chart here. We're gonna look through every single one of those entries. I'm gonna walk you through that trade. But every single day, and we all are familiar with this, there are gurus and instructors and trade alert services and stock pumpers who sort of declare that ASST or ADTX or LGVN or GDTC, they're all the greatest things since sliced bread. We've all bought that stock and we've all held on to it. And we've all sort of said, oh, shoot, like, I wish I hadn't bought that stock. And then people, you know, are what some of my friends lovingly refer to as bag holders. They end up holding that stock as it drops and drops and drops. And I've been there and I've done that. And there was a point in time about 3 years ago, after 21 years of doing this, I realized, geez, there's like 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 of these that jump and they all fall. These are high volume, in some cases low float stocks. And in all cases, these are money losing companies that have a headquarters at like a UPS store. Like, so let's take a look here. Like, we can look at some data on like GDTC. This is Dilution Tracker. You can get most of this information on Dilution Tracker for free. This company has 15 months of cash left. That's their cash position. They have a float of like 3 million shares, which is a relatively low float. They only have a market cap of 24 million and they lose 27 cents a share. Today, let's see what they announced. The news today on this stock was Cytomed Therapeutic acquires cord blood banking license and assets to entrench its strategy in allogenic off-the-shelf donor-delivered gamma delta T cells technology, blah, blah, blah. It added no dollars to their top line revenue. It did nothing. They're still the company that loses 27 cents a share. And this is the trend. Since January, this company has been garbage. And all it did today was issue a press release to try to get the stock price up. What these companies will typically do is they'll issue a press release, the stock will go up, they'll issue more shares to the public, and that will dilute the stock and the stock will come back down. And this is what I do over and over and over again. And there was a point also where I just was like, wait a minute, there's like one number one stock of the day. And if you're lucky enough to follow the right guru, and if you have Jedi reflexes and you can get in at exactly the right time and you can hold it for exactly the right amount of time, you're gonna make some money. And then I said, but there's like 10 of these garbage companies that don't make money and they jump and they fall. And I said, well, what would it take to short these stocks? And it was shockingly easy. Instead of one click, it was three clicks. And I'll show you how I do it or whatever, if anybody even cares. It's okay if you don't care about it. But this is what I do now. So this is what I do. I've documented all but like three of 503 trades that I've taken over the last year. Every single one of these is documented. And every single time the pattern looks almost exactly the same in every single instance. I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. I document every single trade I take.
Irene, I trade all those stocks.
Yeah, these are all stocks that you probably do well at buying on the way up. It's
right.
It's actually kind of cool. Like, once you're done with them, I'm going to hammer them. Yeah, so it's kind of cool. Like, we what we do really meshes, and it just looks the same every time. It's the same thing over and over and over and over.
AIO.
And I document everything. And I think my favorite part of trading is oddly documenting the trade. It has become sort of like a Mr. Miyagi pruning a bonsai tree or something. Like, I'm no Mr. Miyagi, who's fake anyway, but I just find a ton of peace and contentment in documenting the trade and marking it up. And then I can reflect back on that experience. It's because I've documented it, I remember it, and that pattern sort of becomes sort of intuitive or whatever. And you earn the right to be intuitive about the markets from doing enough of it and having the experience to like learn from it. And some of them don't go well. Like, you'll see the losses and the wins in here. But anyway, so that's what I do. And my win percentage is way better than it used to be. And I have a whole checklist for, you know, everything that I look for. And I'll walk through the checklist really quickly, because I know some people, you might want to take a screenshot of this. And by the way, all of this is free. There's a link at my website, robbooker.com, in the upper right. It's free, the whole course. There's 45 lessons. It's probably the best course I've ever done in my life. Every single element of what I do is in the course. There's no upsell. There's no whatever. When I'm ready to ask you to come into my group, I will punch you in the mouth and drag you over the finish line to do that. I'm not going to lie about that. But everything else that I do is free, so you can see if it's right for you. Anyway, so I look for stocks that are spiking up 30% or more from yesterday's close. It's got to be a NASDAQ stock because those are kind of the new penny stocks, so to speak. No activity in the previous session, so it's a big surprise to everyone that it started moving. It's usually above $1.50. My friend Chad that trades with me every day, he likes them above $2. That gives it more room to fall. Mm-hmm. It's moved above the volume weighted average price. The volume weighted average price is above the 200 period simple moving average. In the 4-hour chart, it's in a downtrend over the last 2 to 10 months. Fundamentals, it's making or losing money, has a negative earnings per share on a quarterly basis, quarter after quarter after quarter. Institutional ownership is less than 50%. So we know that like there's not like 30% owned by BlackRock. They're not gonna let any of those shares get lent out. They're not gonna sell their shares. They're not gonna, so it's institutional ownerships are a big wall. They know something that I don't know, and they're gonna hold on to that for dear life forever, and they're gonna try to ruin me if I short it. Insider ownership is less than 80% because those shares would be locked up and it would reduce the float kind of artificially. It's got to have negative cash flow or very limited cash left. This means like less than 30 months of cash left on hand. I love it when a company has negative cash left. We can see examples of that today. And then I enter on a break or a close below the volume weighted average price. So I'm going to walk you through GDTC that went well today, and then I'm going to show you the one that didn't go well and sort of why. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Yeah,
these are all hard to borrow stocks.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah, you had Samuel on YouTube that's just asking, you know, how do you short some of these stocks because they're hard to borrow, like on TradeStation? So yeah. Because anything under $5 is usually really, they don't really let you borrow it.
Yeah, so I have an account with TradeZero. TradeZero is based in New York, in Brooklyn, probably not far from you. I love those guys.
Yeah, I know them. I love those guys too. Very good company.
I love those guys. They've just been, so you can have a $2,500 account. You can borrow all of these stocks. I could probably borrow GDTC right now. Got to borrow the stock in order to short it. Yeah, so it's 1 cent per share to borrow. It cost me $1.13 to borrow 100 shares. So you can't do it on TradeStation. You can't do it on E-Trade. You can't do it on Schwab. You can't do it on, they'll say that they allow shorting, but they don't. You can also do it at Cobra. Cobra's for larger accounts. Anyway, so there's brokers that are specialized. These are all regulated. These are all regulated brokers, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so this is GDTC. So it jumps up this morning. Money losing company, fits all the criteria that we just looked at. Everything about it is exactly what I had mentioned. There's nothing special about this company. There's nothing magical about these people. They haven't cured any diseases. They probably have a very limited number of employees. We can actually see how many employees they have. We can go to Yahoo and look up their profile. Doesn't even list the number of employees they have. Their CEO makes $27,000 a year. I don't know why I'm laughing at that poor guy. Okay, so this is not a very successful company. Closes down below the VWAP. I take a little bit of a late entry, and then it falls. It's on the way to the 200 period simple moving average on the 5-minute chart. Halfway there, I start closing it out. Then I shorted another 500 at a volume weighted average price retest, and then I closed that out, and that was done. That was, I don't know, that was not like, I didn't like make $1 million on this. That was $266 total on that for about 30 minutes of work on that one. So later on in the morning, and here's where things get dicey. Here's where things got wild. And I'm going to keep the markings on the chart, even though it makes it a little bit more difficult to see. But I want to show you exactly what I did, why, and what happened. So sorry for the language here on my chart, everybody. I don't know if you can see that. But I shorted it as it was going up above the volume weighted average price, which is not the entry that I look for. That's my mistake. And I took 1,000 shares on that. Why did I take 1,000 shares on that? Because I've seen this stock fall. I did all my other research, and this stock, this is the trend. Since January, straight down. It jumped up on the 11th of July, and then it crashed right back down. And so I got ahead of myself. I let my emotions and my excitement get ahead of it. And so I said, I'm gonna preemptively short this thing. And then it moved against me. And then it started dropping and I got super confident and super happy and super excited. And I started doing all this confirmation bias, like, oh, look, it does lose money. And oh, look, it always falls. And oh, look, it's going below the VWAP. And all I'm doing is giving myself like pats on the back to reassure me about a trade that I know I shouldn't have been in the first place. And then it breaks through a trend line and it moves up. And I'm down $1,000. My max loss is $1,500. That's my max loss. Gets closer and closer to $1,500. And I'm like, man, and I'm upset with myself. And I realized all that confirmation bias was just BS. And all I was trying to do is justify a trade that I shouldn't have taken in the first place. And then it tops out at like not $8.50. And then it closes below the volume weighted average price for real. And it does it on very strong bearish volume. Like you can see the volume candle right there. And I'm watching level two and I'm seeing bids underneath the price that are large sell orders. So it's like they're getting ready to short it underneath where it's at, which is a very, very good sign for me that the sellers are now lining up and the people who bought the stock can't get filled on an exit. And they're even saying, I will take a lower price for this. I will just get out of this trade. And my trailing stop is going to get hit. And so I shorted 1,500 more shares there. I loaded up on it. I backed the truck up. I loaded up. And then I got lucky. Like, and I say lucky, it's really, this was the justifiable trade right here. This was the one that I should have waited for because I missed the first entry below the VWAP. The next one that came on volume was right here. The next one that came on significant volume that had level two that was showing that the bears were coming into control. And that was the real entry. And the reason I'm on timeout is because I didn't execute the trade according to my plan. And I'm not being just hard on myself. Like, I'm just telling you, I have high standards for myself and I teach people how to do this. And if I'm going to be a knucklehead about it, then there had better be bigger consequences for me than there even would be for you. And I take it really seriously. Like, this was a big, big deal to me and I'm relieved that I got out of it. And once I took the trade, it's not like I was going to get out. Fausto, we've all done this too. It's not like I was at the minute I'm break even, I'm getting out of this. I'm like, finally, like, oh my gosh, I'm fine. No, this was a real trade right here. So I managed it like a real trade all the way down to the profit target. And then I closed it. And then I closed my trading platform, which I only reopened to do this with you. And I just feel like that's an example of having plenty of margin left over. I had $150,000 of available margin and no other open trades when I was rescuing this position. So I was in a really good financial position to do that. And so I always kind of like, my first position is so small that if it goes in the direction that I want it to, I won't really make any money. I'll make $100 like I did on those other trades. I'll make just $100. But if it moves against me, then I have all this ammunition and all this firepower. So I have $400 a day, a $500 a day, $300 a day loss, $200 a day loss, $500 day win, and then I have like a $2,000 winning day because I had plenty of margin left. And every once in a while, I'll have a big day. So I don't have big days every day, which is kind of what I wanted when I first started trading, was a big day every day. Now what I want is like, I'm fine, $200, $300, $500. And then I take all this money from this account. So when this account gets up to, so we're at 87,276. When we get into the mid 90s, I'll take a ton of the money out of this account. And then I will put it over in my put selling account and I will buy quality stocks by selling puts, which is if I sell a put, I get paid income. If the stock falls, I get assigned the stock at a price that I said was fair and I got paid to do it by selling the put. And suddenly I'll own Occidental Petroleum, Altria, Chipotle or others, you know, reasonably high quality companies that are well managed that make money. And I'll just take I just keep taking the money out of this higher risk account. And then I just keep shoving it over into the lower risk kind of strategy. And then that's like sort of the complete thing. So I restart my short selling account, Fausto, at a weird superstitious $4,000 level every single time. And then I'll take the money out whenever like it gets to 20, it gets to 40, it gets to whatever it gets to. And I'll be in under the pattern day trader restriction and everything at the beginning and have to hold everything overnight. And it reteaches me all that stuff that I forget if I just keep trying to grow the account into some kind of, you know, $1 million or whatever thing. Anyway, that's what I do. I'm happy to answer questions, but that's pretty much what I do in a nutshell.
You know what? You found your niche. And it's so funny that I was just looking at that trade. Cause as you were talking, I was looking at my high frequency trades and see where those orders were. And that was one of the stocks that we actually were trading. That stock was actually one of the stocks that we were watching this morning in our cyber group room. And yeah, had a really nice pop. But yeah, like anything else, you get lucky being at the right place at the right time. It was what I kind of call, it's kind of called like more of a Fausto flag when it hit that $8 and started making, it's called consolidation. It was more consolidating, kept testing the guy on the bottom. And eventually the buyers on the bid ran out of shares and they were not supporting anymore. And then, you know, obviously the sellers had more to sell than the buyers. Once the buyers ran out, boom, you were in the right place at the right time. I like your concept, which is a little bit different than what we do, which it's an enhancement for a lot of traders in here, especially for swing trading, that, you know, you can kind of, you know, you're looking at like, you know, company, how much cash they have left, you're seeing all that stuff. And that's more of a great strategy. And I think that's what people have to understand, is that's why Wall Street always wins, because they know what you just said. They know this company can't survive, and they know that they're going to see the stocks and come up on their radar. I'm like, oh, here we go again. Here comes the day traders or somebody out there pumping and dumping, and they're doing their research. They're like, listen, I'll short this thing if it goes to 50. You know what I mean? And sure enough, that's what happened. I think a lot of people here have to have that same lesson, because something I think a lot of people we hear probably were witness of is like GameStop. You know, GameStop, you know, it was just a pump and dump. I mean, not in a bad way. It's just like when you had 600,000 people buying it and holding it, listen to one person, Wall Street's know eventually someone's going to give up. And you got the Wall Street bet guys and saying, hold, 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 you know, like AMC. Listen, the company doesn't have any money. They don't have any money. You know what I mean? And, you know, eventually, you know, what's the movie with Mel Gibson? Gladiator, you know? Hold, hold. You know what I mean? Like, people are like, I'm not holding, I'm getting out. I'm leaving, I see you. You know, I got kids that I got to support. You know what I mean? Trading's the same thing. They don't care. And it just got to follow those orders. But I love that, how you explain that. Question from Brooker here. Same at most, why the most bought NVIDIA at 120 and will sell at 130, approximately 2-3 weeks. Well, listen, the thing that everybody wants to hear, you know, is like, they all want to talk about the Fabulous Seven. They all want to talk about these specific stocks. You know, this stock trades no different than what Rob is showing you, because people are like, I don't deal penny stocks. Like, I don't like to pick penny stocks too, because I can't see the orders. But what you're saying, Rob, you're like, why should I go trade $120 stock when I could do it with a $5 stock? It's the same money I'm going to make. If my goal is to make $1,500 a day, like you made, you know, and I could risk less with a high amount of reward, why would I not do that? You know, and you know, if you take that same style, which you just explained, you could apply it to the video, any of the brand names, but it's just a lot more controllable.
Yeah, I don't. It's such a great point. Like, you bring up so many great things. And most of all, I never short a stock on anything at its core, other than a bad company that jumped up. Like, at its core, I am a fundamental trader. At its core, like, the definition of stock pumping is telling people to buy a stock because you want to go up. You want it to go up. That's literally the SEC definition of pumping a stock. Telling people to buy the stock because you want it to go up. When I short a stock, and this has all been influenced by all those regulations, is like, if I'm going to say I'm shorting a stock, I'm going to damn well better have some evidence for why I'm shorting that stock. And the evidence is, if your neighbor is burning $10,000 a month and has no job, at some point in time, their house is going to be taken away from them. It's math. It's science. And the same is true of companies. If the company doesn't produce cash flow, doesn't have earnings, doesn't have a product, hasn't been around for very long, has a headquarters at a UPS store, this is not a good company. And I'm not doing a disservice. I don't hate these people. I'm balancing the pumpers. I'm stepping in and saying, the market is being irrational. I have a stop loss. I'm not in this forever. I'm not going to be stubborn about this, but I'm going to pound on this thing. This has no business going up. This is, if your friend is dating a psychopathic, toxic person, you tell your friend to break up with them. You don't go, well, you know, like, and that's what I think people do with stocks. They buy a terrible stock and they hold it. It's like, no, break up with that stock. And I don't just break up with it. You know,
you get divorced.
I Yeah, like I pound on this thing because it's math. It's just math. And I am wrong sometimes. I am wrong. I do stop out. I do have losses. And sometimes the market is irrational and it needs a little bit longer. And I give up on it and I don't go back to it, Fausto. I don't make the trade the next day because I have to have no activity the day before. It makes me forget that one. Forget it. It's over.
Because tomorrow's
going to get that money back on that side. That one's dead to me. That one's absolutely. There's 15 more of these tomorrow.
Exactly.
I will get the money back some other way.
Say the same exact thing all the time to the traders. Just don't go back to it. Don't go back to the old girlfriend. Don't go back to the old boyfriend. There's, you know what? Just you got to start all over again. It's just not going to work out. It's not going to work out. But, and you know what's funny that when the more I'm listening to you, that's why I have so much in common with you. So I love, thanks for being on again. I mean, this is so great. I think a lot of people appreciate it. And I was really looking forward to have you on. I mean, like I said, this is the things we've done in the past, but you go into detail and let people know your experience in life is no different than what I kind of preach every day. And the style of trading, we trade about 70% the same. You know, it's basically comes out to be the same thing. And it's just more or less just implement. How many times have I got a tip that someone asked me, hey, I got a tip, the stock's going to go up. And like, and you're doing like what I do is I just look at it. Well, why the hell is nobody buying? And you're like looking at it like, who the hell told you to buy this thing? You know what I mean? Like, is someone trying to get you out of stock? And I tell you, I feel bad for some people. I know I don't want to bring up any names, but I had some family members that would have got involved in this stock. Like, oh, our cousin said that his cousin owns this company and it's going to be, you know, the next thing since sliced bread. And I look at it, I'm like, what? I'm like, he might be right, but why is it, if he telling you, why isn't nobody buying it? And when you come in, you to explain this, be like, Fausto, are you serious? This thing is like, you know, this bug, it's like, I love your story. It's your neighbor spending $10,000 a month. He's going to max out his credit card soon, okay? He hasn't paid his taxes because I just saw it on the sheet when I went to go pay the village tax. You know, he's running out of money. So he's definitely a good salesman or whatever. But you got to follow the money. But anyway, yeah, Rob, thanks for put the Rob Booker link up there. Everyone, take down that link, get his free stuff, go out there, register for it. The worst thing that could happen to you from Rob is you learn something. Okay, now imagine the good thing. That's the worst thing that could happen, right? Is you learn something.
So there it is, right there. So if you go to the website, you click on free course. There's nothing for sale on here. At least if the store is there, don't click on it. But there's some free podcast episodes. I rewrote Think and Grow Rich for Traders. So that's free. You can find it on Spotify and whatever else. I rewrote the book. I also redid Atomic Habits and Margin of Safety and a few others. You can listen to those. And then if you want to learn the entire system with nothing left out, you can just register for the course. That short selling course is free. And I won't bother you unless you write me and ask me a question. I won't bother you. So. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. I love all you people.
Yeah, no problem, Rob. I've got to have you back. I look forward to it. I mean, definitely, I think it was just a great, you know, just having great having you on there and just giving your ideas. And I think, you know, and then going into the summer, just let everybody know this is the best time to learn because I want to definitely have you come back sometime once the summer's over because that's when we're going to election year. People will probably know what's going on from there and probably have some more questions to ask you. But thanks for coming. And everyone, thanks for watching. This will be recorded. If you are subscribed to the channel, you got the QR code in the top left-hand corner. Make sure you register. We're going to send a couple of short videos. Make sure you subscribe to our channel. We'll give you some nice little shorts and a long version of it and some of the highlights of today's event. And like I said, we have events every week. So just make sure you like us, friend us, and ring that bell. Rob, enjoy the rest of your week. Thanks for having us. You look awesome, as always. And let me know next time you're in town, all right?
Okay, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.